Do you know what it takes to get your brilliance out there? It can get messy, and it should. I'm Kelly, the founder of Women for One, and I talk to powerful truth tellers and change makers about the experiences that most transform them and help them to make their lives happen on their own terms. So let's dive in to the Messy Brilliance Show. Hi, everyone. It's Kelly with Women for One, and I'm here with the lovely Elizabeth Peru from Adelaide, Australia. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Elizabeth, I want to tell you a little bit about her before we have this conversation, and she can obviously tell you even more about herself. And she names herself a soul interpreter, as she loves to delve into the realm of the soul, which I absolutely love, and help people see their unique beauty and talents. And I love that because that's what Women for One is about. It's about releasing your story and then stepping into a place where you can discover those unique talents. So I feel very aligned with Elizabeth on that. Since 2003, she's been working in her business, Delta Waves, which I'd love to talk to her about the name of that. I love it. Through writing, guiding, and teaching people about self-awareness and self-inquiry. She encourages people to open up to their innate power and express their natural selves. And my favorite part is to take responsibility for their life and action. And I wanted to read this, Elizabeth, before we start, because my favorite thing that you say, and I saw it on your website, is it's clear and it's just so to the point. Once you know what you are and accept it, you can run with it and create a life of great meaning, fulfillment, and reward. And I just personally feel like that is what Women for One is about. I know there's a lot of places out there where people share their story. They release it. They talk about it emotionally. But what's the next step into taking self-responsibility into that and moving into an action to create a more peaceful and joyful life for yourself?
Yeah. Well, I always have taught, ever since I began this work, a very different slant on responsibility to maybe what a lot of people have. And that's that when you are truly responsible, you can be free because you know your capability. And when you know your capability because you've learned something off your own back, of your own accord, then you know that no matter what happens, I can trust me. Mm-hmm. I am able, I'm capable, and even if I was on my own, I can still achieve whatever I need to achieve.
That's great.
So, yeah, and it's like with little kids, you know, you teach them how to do something and they want to do it themselves. They don't want you to do everything for them.
Right.
And so, that, you know, that's called teaching them responsibility. Mm-hmm. And they love it.
Yeah, I get excited when I can do something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, just before this call and we were, you know, working out Skype and, you know, it's just turn it off and it worked.
Right.
And it's like, just little things.
Right.
That you learn for yourself because you have to do them yourself.
Right.
Teaches you responsibility. Isn't that freeing? Mm-hmm. Don't you then know your worth? And don't we all want to know what we're, our value and our worth?
Absolutely.
Well, we've got to do what's good for us. We've got to walk through it. We've got to take the steps. And that's the most spiritual way to live. It's not about sitting back, reading a few books, going to a few courses, thinking you know what's what, and expelling it all from your mouth. You've got to put it into place. You've got to do it.
So experience, really experiencing it, walking your walk, walking your talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, at the very beginning, when I first set my business up, my little tagline was experience your soul.
Mm.
And even when I first set it up, I wasn't quite sure what that meant, but I knew I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And every day, more and more, I look back at that, I think, yeah, that's right. Because, you know, when you come from here, when you walk what you are, then you know who you are. And like
right.
I said, then you can run with who you are.
That's beautiful. So yeah. how do you define your work as a soul interpreter? Like, what does that phrase mean to you?
Well, it's actually something that a lot of people started calling me.
Okay.
A lot of my clients started calling me that because they realized what I was doing with them was showing them aspects of themselves perhaps they were overlooking. So it's an interpretation of what we are, allowing the bigger picture to be known, allowing the bigger picture to be seen, because we can get so caught up in fragments of ourselves, mm-hmm. that we don't step back. See, the soul steps back. The soul's neutral.
Mm-hmm.
The soul's got a very neutral ground. If you can imagine you and I and everyone watching this, listening to this right now, we're all home right now. Mm-hmm. We're home. We're in this, what we could call spiritual dimension, and it's a place of wholeness and completeness. Nothing's missing there, which is where the word perfection comes from. Perfection mm-hmm. simply means nothing missing, everything is in good order.
Right.
So often when we hear spiritual teachers talking about the perfection of your soul, a lot of the time our personalities can't handle that.
Because yeah, they want to make it, get it right. Yeah.
It's perfect. I can't be perfect. But they're telling me I'm already perfect. What it simply means is, yes, at your core, you have the positive and the negative, the male and the female, all in perfect harmony. We're in perfect flow. That's perfection. It's a different way to look at perfection. It's a nice right. way to look at it because it's freeing.
Right.
So it's, so at that core, you know, we're this whole being. Everything's neutral. The soul has at its very core, you can imagine a seed, like a sunflower seed, say. And, you know, when you plant a sunflower seed, it knows how to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Just know it knows, you know, how to grow. And it's basing that on its experiences of its growth.
Okay.
Maybe last year, maybe the season before, maybe the season before. So it's learned if it's windy, I grow stronger this way. If it's if there's drought, I've got to push my roots down more. So it's recorded all of its experiences on the seed. We record all of our experiences on our seed of our soul, mm-hmm. but they're neutral. So if I cut my finger in my human life, it hurts. And as far as my human perspective is concerned, my personality, that's a bad experience.
Right. But
as far as the soul's concerned, no, it's neutral.
Right.
Neutral experience. Put that in the record books. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The soul, see, at our core, we're very interested in human life.
Right.
Okay, so everything's whole and complete there.
Mm-hmm.
Then we desire to come through and experience separation because the physical universe is very separated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a universe of division. So it takes that wholeness and completion and splits it in two parts,
mm-hmm.
the male and the female, the positive and the negative,
mm-hmm.
side by side. And so whatever you tend to focus on is your reality in the
human. It's your perception, right.
That's
yeah.
right. And I know I'm going with this because of what we originally started talking about, which was now forgotten.
What is... How do you define a soul interpreter? Like, how do you define that term? Because you're
right,
interpreting,
right.
People started calling you that.
That's yeah. right. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
So what happens is we get stuck in either the positive or negative of life. And people start viewing their life from their what I call their personality. So the soul
mm-hmm.
builds a body around itself, a human body, a little baby body, and it grows.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul portal is the heart.
Right.
And this is why when we come here, we feel ourselves. And keeping in mind that the heart is one organ, complete organ. But we have this awareness in our brain as well, this consciousness up here. And keeping in mind the brain is in two halves.
Mm-hmm.
It's two portals, just like the physical universe is split into a positive and a negative side.
Right.
The heart is one combined energy, both, like the soul. So what I've simply called it is the personality and the soul, because I like to keep things simple for people.
Right.
And so we tend to live our life out of our heads because we are very much seduced by the physical senses, by the vision, by the hearing, by the taste, by the sight. And it's a visual world. I mean, and the media is visual. Everything's media, visual. So we can get really sucked into that portal of visualizing everything
mm-hmm.
And forget about the heart and the soul. Little kids remember really well. A lot of people that have simplified lives remember. But if you have a very mental life, you can get caught in your personality and believe that's who you are. And a lot of the clients that come to me, they are caught in the personality.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I love the personality. I never say get rid of your personality. I know a lot of people say the ego is bad and you should get rid of
it. I agree with you. I think it's a vehicle. I think the personality
is
a vehicle.
It is.
To the
soul.
No, I think that the personality is, and through all the work I've done, is a vehicle to the soul in a lot of ways. It's not,
yeah.
You can't throw your personality away. It's the way we learn about our soul, if we can
yeah.
get some maturity around it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the personality is there to be the spokesperson for your soul. Mm-hmm. Imagine when it is. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. But you see, what happens is we get so caught in the head that we feel that if I drop into the heart and if I follow my soul, I'm not going to be me anymore.
Right.
This is why a lot of people are afraid of meditation and quietening the thinking, because they've got some perception that they won't be the same person anymore, and they'll be some sort of dull version of themselves, or they won't have to be able to have fun and have light and shade, which isn't true. You see, the ego, I've found, is the personality just disconnected totally from the soul.
Right.
And it knows that it's doing that. Like, we know when we're disconnected from who we are, and it's a very sad place to be.
And well, it's interesting you say we know, because there's this place in me that believes there's a lot of people that are walking around this earth, and I think that's why we're in a place we are. I don't like to catastrophize about where we are, because I believe we are where we're supposed to be at every moment. But I think I don't feel like it's that there's this place where people are completely conscious, I mean, of the fact that they're afraid. I think they make all these excuses. I just wanted to ask you about it. Like, I know I do, personally. I make an excuse, meditation, I don't have time, or I'm bored, or, you know, and I can't get peaceful. And I almost, because of the work I've done, I know I'm fooling myself. But yeah, I think there's a lot of people out in the world that don't even know they're fooling themselves. They're not aware.
I beg to differ.
Okay, I love to hear your opinion.
Yeah, because they can't not know. Even the most hardened person that can seem cruel and vindictive and frustrated or jealous or whatever emotional state they're caught in, at some point in their day, they will have a recognition that there is more to them, that there is something else. And it will be in their quiet moments. These people tend to try and keep themselves busy so that they don't have to hear the quiet, because they know that's the soul calling them home, saying, come back, come back, come back.
And that almost brings a sadness in me when you say it, like, for those people.
Yeah, they hear it. They do hear it. These people tend to become insomniacs and things. They don't want, for some reason, the personality is so disconnected through, and it could be through their life experiences, through their upbringings, through the way they were raised as children or whatever they've had to witness in their life, that the very thought of having to come back to who they are scares them more than doing it.
Do you think they're conscious of that at some point?
Yes, I do.
At some point. That's a really interesting kind of perspective to take. Like, you know, and what it does for me when you say it is it brings me into an awareness of empathy and compassion for the people, because there are times where I'm like, it's frustrating because when I see someone that's completely unconscious, or I judge to be unconscious, but maybe not, I always say to myself, where is that unconscious place in me? I try to internalize it at least and not make it about judging them. But what you're saying is every person to their core knows they are God. They're whatever you call it. They are their soul. And there is a time where they will experience that.
They do. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. I've seen some real hard-nosed people, and they who you think, you know, they really, that could be so frustrating to be around, and you think they really don't get it. They don't get it, but you think, but they must get it. I know they get it. And then you just happen to catch them off guard in a moment where perhaps they get a little bit emotional. You can see them, that they've hit their core, and they might switch from it straight away, but you can see it there.
You can feel it.
Feel it. And you see, knowing that, you see, everyone's in their power. Because if we all have the ability to be in our power. Even those who may seem like dictators have an opportunity to be in their truth, their power.
So even the people that are trying to have power over others, or people that are completely victims and powerless, everybody has that power.
We must see that, otherwise we will never get out of the paradigm we're in. Mm-hmm.
That everybody's
we have to a know that everyone being. Has this, it's the same essence. Remember, the soul is neutral. You know, we hear that we are all one, we're at unity. It's true.
I agree.
It's true. The difference, though, we're all made from that same wholeness. The difference is within our experiences. So I mentioned that seed, that core right. of who we are, where all of our, I guess you could say, memories, but neutral, they're neutralized, mm-hmm. experiences are recorded. Everyone's had different experiences. So every soul is unique in that regard, in that you've had different experiences in your lifetimes than I have.
Yes.
And so has everyone. And therefore, we pull on those experiences when we communicate with one another.
Okay.
And when we express ourselves in our human lives. And therefore, we are unique. However, we're made from the same base. And mm-hmm. we can all pull on the same base of information at any time. So you and I, our souls, have access to the universal knowledge banks, if we so choose. Mm-hmm. Everything's at your fingertips.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And so getting back to interpretation, a lot of the people I work with, you see they're stuck in the personality or they're stuck in one side of the negativity or the positivity, and they can't see their beauty, they can't see their wholeness. And I help them go in and see all of who they are.
Hmm.
And I will interpret it so their personalities understand. Because I tell you, if you don't get the head on board, it's difficult.
And how do you do this?
Well, through conversation, actually, much like we're doing now.
Because do you do it kinesthetically as well? Like, or you know, obviously, I feel like that's a big part of interpreting someone, the feeling you get when you're speaking with them as well?
I'm mm-hmm. all about the sensitivity and the feeling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't tend to be clairvoyant or clairaudient. I guess clairsentient. Everything's
mm-hmm.
a knowing and feeling. And it comes from here. I'm not in here
mm-hmm.
when I'm working with someone. When I'm in speaking on behalf of the soul, I'm here. And it's just something that sinks in, you know, you just feel it. It's an authenticity, it's an integrity. But I need to get people's personalities listening. And I see it every time, Kelly. You can just say one poignant truth to someone and it stops them in their tracks.
Mm.
A lot of people aren't used to hearing the truth. And
I agree with that. Yeah? And speaking of truth, you know, every person I interview, from just a housewife like I am, you know, to Maya Angelou, I ask each person what their definition of authenticity is. And I think it's probably because it's my life's journey as well, you know, so that's why I'm doing this. And it is about truth and how we're not speaking truth to one another as much as I would love for our society to do that. So I'm curious what your definition of the authentic voice is. It's the soul, I guess.
Authenticity, I would keep it really simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, do what you mean.
Do what you mean. It's not quite as simple as just saying that, though, is it, sometimes?
But that's it at its essence.
Right. It's pure. It's pure. It's pure, right.
Yeah, that's it. Drill, dry it down.
Do what you mean.
Do what you mean. And I say do because this human life is about action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're here with a body, with arms, with legs, with beautiful eyes to express with.
Yes.
This is where the personality comes into its own, when it can be expressive. It's incredible. Incredible, because it really increases your energy field too.
Mm-hmm.
And which means you have more opportunity to influence others into the positivity as well. So when you can do what you know, when you can do what you are authentic.
I just love that. I love it. Because that's what, I mean, the difference with Women for One is taking that action, taking that step.
Yeah.
It's not about recycling in your victimhood or telling your story over and over. You know, it's about, okay, what's next? What action can I take to manifest what I want to choose and take responsibility for in this life?
Yeah. And you see, what happens is people do know that too. Intrinsically, they know that. But they want to know, before I step, I've got a guarantee of where I'm going and what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. The soul will never give you a guarantee.
No.
Because soul says, step, trust, mm-hmm. step. And it's not until you take that jump off the old mountain, as they say. You know, it's like that classic scene, I love it, in the Indiana Jones movie where he takes the step of faith and the bridge opens up for him.
Right, right.
Yeah. Is awesome. And so it's like, not until you step will you see the vision start to come into view.
Right. And I have this Zen saying through my divorce, I made a choice to break up my family and step into my truth, which was it was a big thing for me in my life. I didn't feel like I was living my truth. And every day my personality questioned what I was doing. So I found this card and I put it on my refrigerator for 5 years. And it says, leap and the net will appear. Leap and the net will appear. And it was so awesome because that's really how it felt. Every day I had to keep saying it and surrender to trust that it was my soul's longing.
And where did you get that from? Where did you get that knowing from?
The knowing to trust it?
That, yeah, what you wrote there on the fridge.
Well, I found the card at a store
and
it resonated with my heart. Yeah. It resonated with me. I said, I need to trust that net. I need to, trust the universe that it will support me if I step in what my knowing and truth is.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying before.
Mm-hmm.
We all know intrinsically that little seed of the soul pulls what we need towards us. So even, as you said, people caught in turmoil or negativity, they will have a little seed pulling them at some point, and they may find a card somewhere someday, or someone may say just the right thing to them that will be their trigger as well. You see, everyone has the potential. I believe everyone has the potential.
But so that potential is there, and what I've noticed is there's so many people that are so afraid. They've got so much fear about taking that step. I mean, I have a lot of friends and just people I know that are terrified, whether it be about, creating a new life for themselves. They tell themselves all these negative things. How do you get out of that?
Well, I think a lot of people are focused on what everyone else maybe thinks of them,
mm-hmm.
which, and here is the hilarious thing. No one's actually thinking about them. Everyone's thinking about themselves.
It's so true.
It is so true. I mean, we could hammer that home to ourselves every day. That should be on every media broadcast, flashing as news every hour because we forget.
I agree with you. I used to be like that. And after a while, I'm like, really? Like, Kelly, get over yourself. And that's what I'd say to myself. Like, come on. And now I've shifted out of it.
That one thing could change everything.
Just say it again for everybody.
It says, no one else is watching you. Everyone's too busy thinking about themselves. is true. Now, if you really believed that and you really recognized it, and everyone's walking around kind of giggling to themselves because all of a sudden there's no pressure on me. I'm free. She's not thinking what am I looking like. He's not worried about me. They're all thinking about themselves. So what have I been waiting for? What have I been waiting for? And I tell you what, you could do anything under that energy. You could stand in front of 20,000 people and sing under that energy.
It's true. It's very freeing.
You see a lot of singers, they say this, entertainers, they lose themselves in the moment. They become just with themselves. The greatest people that have impact on people are those that just are doing it for themselves, that they sink into themselves in that moment. And you can tell, and everyone resonates with it. And we all have permission to be ourselves in that moment.
If you can be yourself, everybody else has permission to be themselves.
Yeah, it happens like dominoes. You see it at music concerts and things.
Yep.
Everyone's just... they feel so incredibly released at those things because usually the singer or the entertainer or whatever is completely there in their own space, and it's a special moment. It's beautiful. They're not there in their ego or whatever. When they really get into the resonance of a sound or a song, magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you
beautiful.
Can see it in everyone in the audience. It's a very healing space to be in.
Right. So when you're talking about getting back to action, when you're talking about taking action, how do you encourage your clients and people you work with to go from that place of understanding where they are to taking action in their lives?
Okay. So, the first thing we do is we recognize what they're good at. It starts
simple.
With that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds simple, but people can tend to overlook what they're good at. because they can brush it off as being inconsequential. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're good at, say, caring and compassion, for example, you just love it. You love looking after things. You love opening doors for others. If you're good at that, well, then you need to practice that every day because it makes you feel good.
Right.
It's not that so that you're focused on doing it for everyone else, but it's got to make you feel good too. Because if it makes you feel good, it will doubly make others feel good. So then I would, if they love caring and compassion, but they're not practicing it, I would get them to start practicing it. And in simple, simple ways. So the first way may be taking an hour for themselves every day to look after themselves to begin with. And that may mean you've got to schedule it in just as though you would have a shower in the morning or have breakfast or go to work. It's just as important. It's an appointment you make with yourself. And it's so step-by-step things. It may be talking to a friend that you wanted to speak to for the last 10 years but have been afraid to. I would be asking them to pick up the phone or to write a letter or send an email or to go to their house and see them.
And so then, taking risks and taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Really pushing yourself a little.
Yeah. Holding yourself to account to it too. Making sure you do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you're going to know how good you feel when you do it. You won't know until you've done it though.
Right.
So action has to take place. People that come and work with me have to be prepared to do the work because it's the only way they're going to know their capability and how it's the only way they're going to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's a false sense of feeling good if we just talk about it and you never do anything.
So you call yourself a soul interpreter, but I mean, in some ways, I don't want to name you this. You remind me somewhat of a coach as well. Like you're from the heart, a heart coach, you know?
Yeah, well, I've always called myself a teacher. I've been a teacher since I was a little kid. I remember when I was little, I loved dancing. Mm-hmm. And I used to nag my mom to take me to ballet classes all the time. Mummy, take me to ballet, take me to ballet. So eventually we did, my mum took me to a dance class, but it wasn't classical ballet. It turned out to be calisthenics, which is a very big sport here in Australia. And nowhere else in the world is it as big.
It's sport?
Yeah, we have hundreds and hundreds of clubs all around.
I read that in your bio, but I didn't realize it was a sport. Here calisthenics just means, work.
Yeah, no, it's an actual organized, it's an organization that's been going for well over 100 and something years.
Wow.
And it's called a sport, but it's more artistic than that. So there's there's competitions and there's clubs and there's all different types of routines and there's a lot of stage work. It's awesome. I loved it. It's where I got all my on the job training from. Everything I do now, I learned in calisthenics. Definitely. And anyway, I remember my first, so we went to calisthenics instead of ballet. But I loved it. And so I decided to stay there as well. And I remember at my second class, the teacher pulling me over and saying, Elizabeth, can you take these girls over to the corner? I was 6 or 7. And can you go through the routine with them because they've forgotten what to do? And I said, yes, I'd love to. I thought it felt really good. And I found that at school and that I've been teaching since I can remember. And people recognizing that in me. I mean, my first calisthenics teacher is my greatest mentor still. She's in her 70s now or whatever. I always looked up to her, loved the way she would nurture people and instill confidence in them. And when you were with her, you always did your best. And I think if we can do that for each other, if we live a life of our own excellence, that it inspires everyone else to live their life that way too. It's like I didn't want to be my mentor, but I wanted to be like that.
That's right. Right. You have a lot of wolf energy. I love this shamanism and the Native American. You're a teacher. That's what you have. It's beautiful.
I love being a teacher. I love it. I love it.
And you found something you love. Yes.
Yeah. But what I found out was, after a lot of inquiries, that it was always there. Mm-hmm. See, it was there when I was 5. It was probably there when I was 0. If I'd been able to talk as a baby, I was probably directing. But we've got to go back to what we came in as.
I agree with that. Because, if you look at Women for One, it evolved out of, me meditating and hearing the words Women for One. But all I wanted to do was write and give back and do this service and learn about authenticity and truth and I knew it was about women. That's all I knew. And then I worked it to the point of understanding that, you know, I'm good at connecting women. I'm good at speaking with women. And it just evolved. But I discovered what I'm good at through that instead
That's
of...
it. See, and you've got to take the steps, otherwise you won't know.
Right. And I took the steps, and there were so many risks, and my coach was like, okay, next step, next step. And there were baby steps, and then it just kept unraveling. And, I, you know, it made me, encourage me to encourage other women to do the same thing.
Yeah, and it is baby steps. It's, mm-hmm. Some people get very overwhelmed with their with their vision for their life.
Right.
And they don't know where to start. And you've just got to begin. As I say to people, the path is always organic. You will start with a idea of where you're going, but you will have no idea where you're going to end up.
And that's the beauty of it, that mystery. Because I'm still like, oh, this is so cool. I get to talk to Elizabeth Brew. Oh, I get to talk to Gary Zukav. I get, to, you know, I mean, I, this is just a, it's a mystery that's unraveling in front of me that I'm not attached to the outcome, it feels like. That's what it feels like. It's just, and I'm learning my skill set as I go, if that makes sense.
One can feel your honesty and integrity, Kelly. It's palpable.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. And I'll tell you what, your personality is absolutely on board with your soul.
Oh, thank you.
I can see it here.
That's, and it's the first time I'm 45 on Saturday, and it's taken me to this point to get to this place. And I felt lost for many years, where I couldn't quite align. And try to understand. And the steps I took when I decided I wasn't living my truth 10 years ago, that's what got me to where I am now. And I want all the other women to know that. And I want someone like you to work with women to understand that.
I love working with women to be in their power because they have been so disempowered for so long. And I can remember as a little child always thinking to myself, boys and girls are equal. Boys and girls are equal. I remember that. That's almost like a recording in my head. From the time I can remember having consciousness, that was there. And I could never work out why they were treated differently.
I agree with you about, you know, that when I was a child as well. And what's so interesting is, you know, a lot of my following is in Egypt. In the women, young women, 18 to 24 year olds have joined, and they're from the Middle East. And the look when I Skype with these women in Egypt, the powerful, just the look in their eyes, they're so empowered and they're so about being equal now from the revolution the past several years. It's inspiring to me because I find that sometimes in the Western world, we've kind of gone a little numb.
Yeah. And yeah, I agree. I love women everywhere, and I'm very aligned with Egypt and have been ever since I can remember. You know, and I've been there, and I whenever I see women in any position of where they're put as second class citizens, but for whatever reason, my blood boils naturally. As it would for anything. If that was a male being put in that situation,
I agree.
Or an animal, it doesn't matter if you're an animal, human, or whatever. I don't like seeing things subjugated at the expense of something else.
I just wanted to ask you about what programs and sessions you are currently offering. I'd love for you to talk about that for a minute.
Sure. Well, I work with people via personal sessions, so one-to-one sessions on Skype or FaceTime, where we basically go straight into whatever issue is coming up for them in their life and help them see it from a soul perspective.
Okay.
And then the action steps they can take to start living their truth or moving forward in whatever area they're stuck on. And I also have what I call an individual mentoring program, which is the same type of session but done over a month. So we get 4 sessions. And this is where we can really get stuck in and do some good work and people can see great results, because one session is good to give you insight, but then you've got to go and do the work. And that's where people, I find, need encouragement and support from week to week. And so when I'm there to help you hold yourself to account week after week, we can really strip down the false layers perhaps that you've been living and get you to be authentic. We'll push you, take those risks, and I'll be there to help you do that. So I love actually working with people over more than one session because it's very fulfilling for both of us.
Absolutely.
To see the changes. And I have coming up in January my advanced mentoring program, which runs over 3 months.
And it's where I teach all these mechanics of the head and the heart, personality and the soul that we've been talking about today, plus it's 10 sessions of personal mentoring. So we overhaul your whole life and get you living authentically. That's my most fulfilling program that I run myself. And I tune into you soul to soul and record myself having a conversation with you.
Wow.
And you, it's really quite unique and special. And the feedback I get from people is usually they're in tears, they're crying, they've touched their heart.
So the last question I had for you is, what one piece of wisdom do you have for our community? I always ask everyone that. Just one piece of wisdom, if you had to take one thing away.
Trust in your own ideas. Trust in your own ideas. Be in a vacuum and follow through with them. Don't look over your shoulder at what everyone else is doing. Trust in your own ideas and bring them through. Act on them.
I need to hear that. Thank you. I needed to hear that today.
Yeah. Again, that's about coming from that space. Remember, it's about you. You know, and we're not saying that from a selfish point.
It
is about you. And no one's watching you but you.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's beautiful.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much. It was so great to talk to you. I'm sorry about the internet difficulties. We'll get that all figured out. But I really, really appreciate speaking with you.
Thank you. I love speaking with you too.
I know. I want to do a mentoring session with you. I want to look into it. Seriously. I'd love to meet you and talk to you further.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Yes. So thank you for your service to the world. It's so good. I wish you were down the street. I'd love to catch up with you.
Well, there's always Skype.
That's right. When it works. All right. Thank you.
All right. Love you.
Love you. Bye.